Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Rod Peterson Show continues. Facebook Live, live audio at rodpeterson.com. Phil Andrews, the voice of the Regina Pats, with us. Kelly Rempel, the Silver Fox, as well. The Raptors have a 2-1 edge on the Warriors in the NBA Finals. Kawhi Leonard had a team-high 30 points as Toronto beat Golden State 123-109 in Game 3 of the Finals at Oracle Arena last night. Steph Curry led all scorers with 47 points, but it wasn't enough to make up for the absence of Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. Today, Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, will update the status of those two players. Kyle Lowry appeared to get shoved by a fan after the Raptors star crashed into a row of courtside seats while trying to save a ball in Game 3 of the Finals last night. Lowry ran down a loose ball and jumped in the air as it was going out of bounds. A man wearing a blue shirt who was sitting down extended his left arm and gave Lowry a hard shove in his left shoulder. It's now being reported that he was an owner of the Warriors, one of the owners. A big eighth inning has assured the Blue Jays their first series win since late April when they swept Oakland. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. hit a three-run homer as part of a five-run eighth, and the Blue Jays rallied for an 11-7 comeback win over the Yankees at Rogers Center. And the NFL is heading to Winnipeg for a preseason game between the Oakland Raiders and Green Bay Packers at IG Field, home of the CFL's Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It'll happen in the third week of the exhibition schedule on August the 22nd. TSN will be carrying it live. We should get to the Riders-Bombers game tonight, gentlemen. You got some thoughts on that preseason affair at Mosaic Stadium. I will see you, I hope, at the tailgate party at 5 p.m. at the Armories, the Garrison, just north of the stadium, hosted by the Canadian Armed Forces and our buddies with the military. By the way, hope you observed the 75th anniversary of the invasion of Normandy today at Juno Beach. Guys, I'll start with you, Remps. Do you care about the results of the game tonight? Does who wins mean much to you?
No, I've never felt that way about preseason. coaches are always looking for, you know, different things. They put people in situations that they're not necessarily convinced that they can succeed in. The point is they want to see if they can succeed in those situations. You know, you're experimenting with different, all kinds of different schemes, not so much complicated schemes. Those are usually saved for regular season, but again, situational type things. Now, you coach the game to win, you know, you don't want to lose. But I think that, you know, what you take out of a preseason game is which guys do we want to keep and which guys don't really fit into our plans. So, you know, the fact that, you know, you win or lose the game isn't that important. Although, Phil, I don't think you want to be scoring 1 point for the second game in a row. So that's got me concerned as a Rider fan.
But who played? Like, I watched the first half last week in Calgary. And Stampeders walk out, and there's Bo Levi Mitchell. You knew it wasn't going to be good because it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't the Riders.
It didn't
right?
have a chance to be good.
You know, I like Cody Fajardo. I mean, there were some decent things you saw from some guys, but at the same time, you went into the game knowing that that's not the team that you're going to see probably tonight because it's the home preseason game and who you're going to see in week one of the regular season. So I don't understand all these people throwing their hands up in the air and getting concerned.
You've lived here long enough to understand why that
who
is.
Who are these guys? No, yeah. Like Abu said the other day, I mean, they're none of them are going to be here, right? And if they are, they're playing especially, they're not going to be in the position that they are. So, I mean, tonight, you want to see them play well, yes. You want to see guys, I mean, you're going to see Zach Collaros. You're going to see those guys, the guys that are, you know, going to lead the way this year. So, I don't think they're only going to score 1 point. I think they're going to score more than 1 point, and everybody's going to take a breath and say, okay, this is still a really good defense, and this offense can still maybe move the ball. I know it's not the biggest, most high-flying, exciting offense in the Canadian Football League, but they won 12 games last year, and they got a lot of guys back. So I don't see any concern right now.
You don't see concern or panic?
No, none.
Because there's a difference between being concerned but panicking.
Watching the first week of the CFL preseason has no effect on my outlook
on the team,
how the Riders are going to be this year. Tonight will have a more effect because it'll be the actual players out there. But then at the same time, I imagine Winnipeg's not playing a bunch of guys either. So, I mean, you can't probably read too much into it. But, I mean, the season's going to start, and then you're going to find out who this Rider team is for sure. And you want tonight's about guys trying to make the team, right? And so we'll see the ones for, what, a quarter, maybe 2 quarters, and then you're going to see guys trying to make the team. Preseason, that's what it's about. It's not about wins. Take some steps. No concern.
I would think Craig Dickinson's been around a long time. This is his first ever home game as a head coach. Don't know how he's approaching it, but I got to think he just wants to play well. I've been around them long enough to know they don't care whether they win or not. These exhibition games, they don't. But they care whether they play well or not. There is a difference.
For sure.
And so I watched the game Friday night, 37-1. I enjoyed it, actually. I enjoy whenever the Riders play, right? It's a game. I mean, there's only one a week for 6 months. But I wasn't upset. I woke up the next morning, and then I checked my social media. I see what people are saying, and people are losing it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I'm like, you, who are these people? What's wrong with you? We didn't know who those guys were. And yeah, so Lynch sat in that chair yesterday, and he was so upset that the Rider, well, they played terrible. Yes, they did. And they'll be gone Saturday night by the time the cuts are made. So that's my thing is, so if Craig Dickinson's saying, I want to get up a big lead by halftime to win this game, I really need to win. He is not thinking that, Kelly.
But no coach generally does. No coach ever sits down with his staff, whether it be in hockey or football, and says, okay, guys, we have to win this game. We are going with a short bench, or we're going with, we're going to ride our starters until halfway through the fourth quarter if we have to. If not, like, that doesn't happen. No coach ever did that. It's about trying to put certain players that you're not really sure about in situations to see whether they can play or whether they can't. And the difficult part is that you still sometimes get it wrong. I mean, how many times? It's such a short sample size. Training camp and 2 exhibition games is hardly enough of an opportunity to give people a chance to show what they can really do. But it's all you have. Mm-hmm. So you have to give these people a chance. And I just think there's a difference between being concerned. Like, let's put it this way. And I'm not saying it'll happen. But if they go out tonight and they get beat 40-0, and I don't think they will, but if they did. Okay, so you've scored 1 point in 2 games. So now I'm starting to go, okay, I'm concerned. But there's no reason to panic because it's not until... Now, if they get beat 37-1... In the regular season,
for sure.
Okay, now you can start to be concerned. But right now, come on. How many times do you have to see history repeat itself to know that, especially the first exhibition game, is not really that important?
That's especially not.
Yeah.
And this one tonight isn't even important.
It isn't.
No. So are we going to hope to have a good game, an entertaining game? Absolutely. If the Riders lose, are they going to burn the stadium down? Some are going to try, but I'm not. Justin, on Facebook, you guys have made my boring morning at work enjoyable. Thank you, Justin. You might want to consider a job change. Anyway, I'm teasing. Do whatever you want. But that's the whole idea, the idea of this show, the mid-morning sports version of The View. We got a winner, Phil.
Yeah, hey? Sure. I'll take your word for it. I've never seen The View, but...
What?
What, you've never seen The View?
How do you not watch The View? You're working.
I'm a sports nerd. That's all I watch. I don't watch anything else.
Tell us about getting that tattoo the other day. Did you have this show up on your iPad or your phone? Were you on Wi-Fi? Set the scene for us.
So I go to Saskatoon to get it done. There's a guy I know. I went to high school with his younger brother.
Yeah.
Danny Schoenfeld. He's unbelievable. One of the best in my opinion, anyways. And when you're getting something like this done, you want to have somebody that you know is really good. So I go there, and I got there at about 10, and by the time you get started, you're not really have a chance to put your headphones in, but the show had ended, so I brought it up rewatching on Facebook Live, and going through some of the tough parts of the tattoo, like underneath around your armpit, is absolutely hell. Sucks.
Because it hurts so much?
Oh, it's just awful. But I was laughing so hard at John Lynch and his,
wasn't he great?
The Kicking Game, and I just like, right. I missed those days, those Mondays. So I was peeing my pants, and I think Danny probably thought I was squirrely and squirming because it was a tough, but I was laughing. That was good.
Got me through. You were laughing at Lynch.
He's unbelievable.
He is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
You heard me say he's a 25-year-old guy in an 81-year-old body.
For no doubt.
We're driving around in Big Bird. His hair is flying in the wind. This is great. This is fantastic. He had never been in a convertible until his 81st birthday when I took him out on Big Bird last September. And now it's just fantastic.
Well, yeah, I told you about this, the conversation. He phoned me at my house about a week or so ago.
He's awesome.
And three quarters of the way, after we're talking about the riders and all this stuff, you know what he says? He says, Kelly, I got to tell you. I was flabbergasted. Flabbergasted. There I was in the hospital going through a tough time. And I couldn't believe that there were people in that hospital that don't even follow the riders. I just assumed all these years that everybody followed him. I was disgusted.
Hang on. I'll see that story and raise you me. One. When Lynch had a five-way bypass, was it last summer? It was. I think it was last. But it doesn't matter. The game that the Riders lost at home was at 37-0 to Montreal here.
Yeah.
The next morning, I went in to see Lynch. Because him and my dad were like 100 steps apart in the hospital. It was a two-for-one deal for me. So I go in to see Lynch. He's got wires strapped. He looked like the Unabomber. And I said, Lynch, did you watch the game last night? Just starts going. And all of a sudden,
that green van.
Oh, the monitors are going on. Nurses come rushing in. They're like, what did you do to him? I said, I asked him if he'd watched the game last night. And like they're going nuts. Like they're bringing out the defibrillator and this.
They're ready to put the paddles on.
No, they were. And
there's no bigger fan in the world.
They had no idea who he was. They had no idea who he was. I said, it's John Frenzy, Hall of Fame rider broadcaster. And they said, does your friend have a slight anxiety problem? I said, he invented anxiety. Yes. So anyways, she says, you need to teach your friend how to meditate. I said, at 80 years old, I'm going to teach Lynch how to meditate. Yeah, for sure.
Well, the other side of that was after the Riders won the Grey Cup at home in 2013. Remember, we were doing the Monday show after the Grey Cup win. And Brendan Tamman brought the Grey Cup into the show.
Lynch
cried.
Which was
incredible. And Lynch was a puddle.
He cried.
Like, it was his... the best moment of his life. And I've never been so happy for somebody in my life because he's such a good guy and he loved, like, obviously. But then to see him, the passion, I mean, it goes to that way where there's anxiety, but to cry, to see that trophy, how much that meant to him for BT to bring that. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah, he really truly is one of a kind. Like, and we say that about people all the time, right? But I've never met anybody quite like him.
Yeah. Like, no,
he's one of a kind.
He's such a good guy. Like, just a genuine, great,
nice
human
person.
Being.
Yeah. On the Facebook,
but he's nuts.
From feed Kim Jackson of the Prince Albert Raiders, yeah. Phil the Thrill, great guy.
Congrats on the win, Kim.
Yes,
well
no kidding.
Deserved.
From Derek Coward, Roddy, you should put James Gallo and Phil on at the same time. That would be a heck of a show. That's the voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors, who was one of the very first to text me about this show. Congrats when we announced it here a couple weeks ago. That would be great.
He's awesome.
He's watching right now.
Programming. Phil, James is?
I know, I guarantee it. I saw him. I was at the Warrior office 2 days ago, and he said that, I heard you're going to be on the show. I told him Thursday. He says, I'll be watching. He
Another
loves it.
Good human.
Him
good
and Miller.
Human.
That's why this show is so much different from my last show. That's why it's called the Rod Peterson Show. The hockey guys are going bonkers about this show. They honestly are. They're like, we got you back after 20 years. I'm like, you do? We still got to do the rider thing, but we're going to have a lot. Like the Colby Armstrong interview, the Peter Labardius interview, the hockey interviews we've done, people have loved them this week.
Pete is like, if you could have a guest on a talk
show, the best.
The number one. Like, there's no, you couldn't get anybody better.
He's the best.
Yep.
The comment went by from Justin regarding how long before McAdoo was fired. And Phil, before you leave, I want to get your take on it. You're a football aficionado. Rems, you as well. I have concerns that we're not even into the season yet. You know they always got to have a scapegoat around here. It's got to be somebody. And it's not just with the Riders. With the Pats for years, it was Jackman. They didn't like Jackman. Before that, they didn't like Curtis Tipler. And with the Riders, now it's Stephen McAdoo. You can't convince them otherwise, right? You can't talk him down. If they're going to have somebody they want to tie a can do, they're not going to let go till they run him out of town. That's a problem that we have here. And it's Stephen McAdoo. I've asked this question for the last couple of years. Is the criticism of him just... I ask it of everybody, and I'll ask you two that. I mean, what do you think, Phil?
I think you go back, what, 3 years ago when the Riders had, what, 3 1,000-yard receivers?
Yep.
In Steve McAdoo's offense. You got to coach the guys you have, in my opinion, right? And so you look at last season, and, you know, Zach Claros got off to a good start. He made a pretty good start. Then he got hurt. And you got Brandon Bridge in there, who, I mean, God love him, he's Canadian, and it would have been awesome to see him be able to take it, that opportunity, and run with it and be a starter, but he wasn't capable, right? And so he put in a game plan that was the most boring thing you could ever watch. I remember going to watch them play the Calgary Stampeders last year, dink and dunk. Like, I don't think there was a pass over 5 yards, and they ran the ball. But he had to try and win, right? And so I don't put this on McAdoo at all. And then you look, Claros comes back. They have that great stretch. They get to the playoffs. They win a playoff game. They're into the West Final. Injury, and you got Brandon Bridge again. It's tough. It's tough. I don't think you can put any of it on McAdoo. I think he has shown when his guys are there, his skilled players are healthy, and Claros is healthy, or his quarterback in 2017, Kevin Glenn, that he has the tools to run an offense that can be successful.
Well, I agree. I agree with you. But I think that when your offense is as shitty as this one was last year,
you can do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Preach it, brother.
But in all seriousness, when you're that anemic offensively, yeah, that your specialty teams and your defense is scoring more points than your offense, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. So I think the offensive coordinator has to share in it. I don't think we can completely say, well, you know, we can't blame him for any of it. I think he has to take his share of the
for
blame.
Sure. Yeah.
But I also think that no matter what level of football, whether it's me coaching, you know, Regina Minor football, or whether it's, you know, John Madden in the 80s coaching the San Francisco 49ers. At some point, though, if you don't have the players, you're not, you know, it's unreasonable to think that you're going to march the ball up and down the field.
Not everybody,
it's just not going to happen.
Not everybody can be the Philadelphia Eagles and have Nick Foles waiting to come in and play, right? Like,
right.
It's just football, it's not real.
I just think that, you know, That was so hard to watch, though, last year.
It
at
was.
Times that
it was.
There were times where I thought to myself, like, oh, my goodness, are you kidding me?
But they won 12 games.
They did, but I'm talking about the offense. And you know at some point you're probably not going to win a championship when you simply can't score. But I will also say this, in defense to Stephen McAdoo, how many times did Chris Jones last year tell the media and the fans that we are not going to throw the ball down the field with this guy, meaning Brandon Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care whether you
did
like it.
Did he say it publicly?
Yes, he said that we're going to have short passes. We're going to have a short passing game. We're going to win with defense and specialty teams. And if our defense and specialty teams have to score points, then that's what we're going to do. I might be paraphrasing, but essentially, that's what he said. He put it on himself. I don't want us throwing the ball down the field with Brandon Bridge. It's not going to happen. So we are going to dink and dunk. So you can't go to the offensive coordinator and blame him when the guy who's telling him what he wants.
And what happened when Bridge aired it out downfield in the playoff game?
Interception.
It was picked off. It was the TSN turning point. Breaking news. The Rider coaches do know what they're doing.
Weird.
Believe it or not. Hey, and if you don't agree with them, you can always drop off your resume down at Mosaic Stadium. A couple of comments from Facebook before we break. From Richard, I wish everyone would relax about the preseason games. It will be all good. From Kenny Stromberg, you know Kenny Stromberg, runs the penalty box at Pats games. Love this concept of morning sports talk. Keep it up. From Curtis in Kansas.
Kansas?
Olathe.
Not in Kansas anymore. Olathe, Kansas. First time watching from Olathe, Kansas. And the show is great in all caps.
Hometown of Pats prospect goaltender Jackson Dilla.
Really?
Yes.
He's a former Rider scout, by the way, Curtis. There's an inside connection on that. Breaking news. Rider coaches know what they're doing. Philzy, before you go.
Yeah.
Voice, you have a permanent spot here, by the way. You will be on the Mount Rushmore of the Rod Peterson Show when we get it chiseled.
I've made it.
The Pats have
Roosevelt.
The Pats have some announcements. You sent out a news release yesterday.
Yeah. Basically, some stuff. In turn, you know, you're in the off season. You talk about, you know, our work in the community. Abu.
Mike Abumeshrick says the list of people watching is more impressive than the guests. No offense, boys. Don't read, Phil.
It's hard not to.
I know.
Especially when Abu, he was commenting about my legs earlier. I mean, but
continue.
So yesterday, I'm really excited to partner with Regina Downtown Business Development in terms of, you know, bringing some programs and offering some things to Regina community downtown. They're going to be building a new visitors pavilion there in Victoria Park, and Pat signed a 10-year partnership with the city basically to help bring some of these programs. So I'm really excited about that. Going to be loosely associated with the Jurassic Park on Friday outdoors. I'm not sure on all the details, but I think we're going to have some canine out there or whatever for watching the Raptor game. I hope that goes really well on Friday night, and you know, Regina can be a place where they have a camera shot to some people. But yeah, it's an exciting thing for us, you know, always trying to find new ways to help out in the community in this great city that, you know, has been so good to this franchise for, geez, 102 years now. So it's a big thing, especially under new ownership, you know, starting this Regina Pats Community Foundation and, you know, being able to be a part of stuff like this is big for this team.
Well, Philzy, your support of this show couldn't mean more to me than it does. I thank you of that. Not just you coming down here, but you watching it. You've watched every minute. I was doing a dinner in Mooseman last spring, just over a year ago, with Daron Carter, and they had a Q&A, and they asked me, what's your favorite sports team in the world? And I said, it's the Regina Pats. Mm-hmm. Always has been, always will be. And, of course, the crowd's like, thought it was Riders.
What's wrong with that?
No, it's the Regina Pats, and you know that
for sure.
And
I'm
the owners,
you.
The owners texted me on a kudos on this show. The Pats, you know, great guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, love the Pats. Love you, Phil. The fans love you, and don't be a stranger to the program.
I look forward to coming back, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Rems
good to be on first week.
Yeah,
good
that's
to be
right.
On with this young man too.
Isn't he looking young?
Oh, he always does.
Rem's sticking around.
Treasurer of their young cub.
Justin Dunk coming up.
You're on the board.
From 3downnation.com. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
you can't listen live, head to rodpeterson.com to watch all of our past episodes. Or join us at 4 o'clock for the repeat show. Let's head back to the studio now.
Rod Peterson Show continues. Come on in, Kel. They sent him out to give him coffee. Facebook Live at rodpeterson.com/listen live. Well, you... Right, so there we go.
You could have just passed it
to me.
Yeah,
that's right. That could have worked, too. It's all right.
Nice and close, you know. You could have passed it to me. We could have went down the line.
Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final goes tonight in Boston, where the Bruins take on the St. Louis Blues. The best of 7 series is tied at 2 games apiece. The Bruins say the availability of injured defenseman Zdeno Chara and Matt Grzelcyk will be game-time decisions. Apparently, they both skated in the morning skate this morning. And because it's the Cup, I anticipate they will play. The Ottawa Senators have hired former Islanders head coach Jack Capuano as their associate coach. He signed a 3-year deal and will work under new Sens head coach DJ Smith. The Blue Jays find themselves in an unfamiliar position tonight as they try to close out a sweep of the American League East leading New York Yankees. Toronto won last night's game 11-7 to clinch their first series win since they finished a sweep of Oakland on April 28th. Edwin Jackson takes on former Jay Jay Happ in tonight's pitching matchup. A Golden State Warriors minority investor has been banned from Oracle Arena for the remainder of the NBA Finals for shoving Raptors guard Kyle Lowry during last night's Game 3. The Warriors said in a statement this morning that they apologized for the actions of Mark Stevens, who pushed Lowry when the guard went into courtside seats to chase a loose ball. Toronto won the game 123-109 to take a 2-1 lead in the series. There's your morning sports update on this Thursday morning. Darren DuPont rejoins the show. Kelly Rempel with us as well. So, interesting last 12 hours, guys. They identify the guy on video. They find out he's one of the owners of the team, and he's banned for the rest of the NBA Finals. What do we think about that?
I don't know. Is what he did that bad?
Well, yeah, I don't think so.
I didn't think so either. When you watch it, I didn't think there was a whole lot that was that bad about it. But then Kyle Lowry was talking about it, saying, I hope he doesn't go to another NBA game ever, not knowing who it was, obviously. But apparently he said some vulgar things. That's maybe some offensive things.
Oh, wow.
Things.
Hurt so feelings.
That's,
wow.
That's what I
Worse.
Said. So if he got offensive, if he got... I don't know. I'm not going to say anything.
Say something about his mom.
Racial, or mom, or whatever. Who knows what people say in the heat of the battle when it's your enemy, right, of your team. Maybe it was more to do than that. But, I didn't know he was an investor. Then that was became a bigger deal.
So that's the story there. I want to get to some of these comments on our Facebook feed. From Francis Ryan, hey Rod, great show. How about a shout out to my home province, the Newfoundland Growlers, winning the Kelly Cup in the East Coast Hockey League, which apparently they don't want it being called the East Coast Hockey League anymore. Did you know that?
Just the ECHL.
The ECHL.
Why? What's wrong with the East Coast?
Because they got teams on the West Coast and they think it looks like a joke, which they have for the last 20 years. Anyways. Former Pat Matt Bradley on that club and a good friend of mine and yours, Lee Fitzpatrick, the former equipment manager, is the equipment manager of the Newfoundland Growlers. He's probably watching this morning. So congrats, Fitzy, Matt Bradley, and all the rest for winning the ECHL crown.
Giorgio Estevan was on that team, too. The Swift Current Broncos and former Lethbridge Hurricane, who won the Western Hockey League title 2 years ago.
From Steve DeJong, I love this show, Rod. I've always enjoyed listening to your play-by-play, and you are truly voice of the Riders. From Steve. From Ian Daniels, if Lowry was on fine, push him, but he reached over 2 seats to push him. Unacceptable. Mike Abou-Meshrick, this is now his new job, sitting, watching this show, and commenting.
Yeah.
What's that? So anyways, the players need to be protected from the players or else bad things can happen. Could you imagine Lowry pushing that old man half as hard? I don't know. My thoughts. So the fan pushed. You can't have that.
No.
You just can't have it. So maybe I'm not surprised that the Warriors minority owner has been banned for the rest of the series. By the way, we had Justin Dunk lined up to come on the program today, and he is at the RBC Canadian Open in Ancaster, Ontario. Do you want to inform the masses, Darren, of the issues that he's having on his end, if you don't mind?
Well, I mean, you just, when you call into the show with the video, you have to have a certain amount of bandwidth. You have to have a good internet connection. He's out on the golf course, and what do they say? No phones on the golf course. That's a rule. So they purposely cut the internet on the golf course, maybe? I don't know. So he can't connect. So he's having some internet issues, and we can't take him away from the RBC Canadian Open. So we'll get him back on for sure.
He needs to go to the golf course and say, look, the next time I'm here and I've got to be on the Rod Peterson show, you need to make sure that I can get the streaming figured out. This is important.
Well, so Justin Dunk from 3DownNation.com, it's been around a while. It's been a while since they've broken a big story, though, isn't it? Like, to have a really big scoop. Maybe things have gone quiet across the CFL. I'm not sure. I wanted to talk to him about some of the CFL issues. We don't need Justin Dunk here to do that. We can do that ourselves. I'll say this. Solomon Elamimian, at what point do the Riders ask for their money back? This is becoming an issue that people are talking about. He hasn't been on the field yet. Big free agent signing. By CFL terms, big money, $160,000. Gentlemen, when do the Riders get... They're probably concerned already. When does this become an issue, Kelly?
You know, I was concerned about the signing right from the very beginning. I mean, your first reaction is, oh, Solomon Elamimian, the hardest hitter maybe in the last 20 years in the CFL, and a guy that brings not only leadership, but you know what? Here's another situation where it's a big signing, but you know, I kind of feel the same way about him as I do Zach Collaros. He's one tweak away from you're not going to see him for three or four games, and he hasn't even been on the field. So when does it become a concern? I think it's a concern now, don't you? Like, I'd be concerned now.
Yeah.
Where is he?
No, for sure. And you want to be concerned because he's supposed to be a prized free agent signing and a guy who is to that point where is he past his prime or his best before date or where is he right now? But much like, you know, Charleston Hughes coming over and still showing that he can be an elite player in the game, I think people are expecting that still, that he still has gas in the tank, but you haven't seen him. Yeah, I'm concerned now, but like you said earlier in the week on this show, I mean, you have to pass a physical when you get signed. And if he was healthy enough to pass a physical, clearly the Riders were comfortable with it at the time. But you're right, it's growing more concerning by the day. And I mean, if he's not ready to go week one, week two, then I'm really concerned because it's a big guy missing. And you'll get more concerned if the defense isn't as elite, I think, as we've seen the last couple of seasons.
I need to go back and check the stats or the rosters for the Lions playoff game in Hamilton last year because they crossed over and played in the Eastern semifinal. I was told Saul did not play in that game. I can't remember. I don't watch the fall of the Lions as closely as I did the Riders, but it would seem there's a pre-existing injury. It would seem that. But my sources in Vancouver are saying he would not have passed a physical with the Riders if there was a severe pre-existing injury. So that's something that everybody's watching. Derek writes on Facebook, hey, Rod, where do you get those Under Armour shirts so I can send my wife to pick me up some? They're nice. Thank you. I order them directly from Under Armour. DM me, and I'll tell you how you can. But don't get too used to them because we're going to sell these. Right, Cliffy? We're going to go down that road again?
Why not?
Well, Paul's talking about getting Under Armour as a sponsor, which is another thing. You know the guy that started Under Armour, and I'd have to Google his name. It's really Eric White or something like that. Played with G. Roy Simon at Maryland with the Terrapins. So I talked to G. Roy about some sponsorship for other things that I'm doing in the recovery world, and G. Roy's like, hey, I can reach out to him if you want. I mean, they're friends, but he offered that opportunity to G-Roy to invest in Under Armour way back in the day, like 20 years ago. And G-Roy passed. Only because he wanted to keep playing football. And he doesn't regret playing football. He regrets not investing in Under Armour. But anyway, apparently a lot of the staff of Under Armour are Terrapins alum. And all teammates of that dude. So, anyways, I'm a big fan of Under Armour. From Taylor, the Riders should have signed Jeff Knox Jr. instead. Younger, healthier, and maybe cheaper. Well, maybe they still can. Nobody signed Jeff Knox yet, right? He's still out there. So, I don't think the Riders are overly concerned yet. If they were, they probably would have signed some of these guys. Although, maybe there's a lot of vets that are sitting back, just waiting. Mm-hmm. Kevin Glenn, chief among them.
Yep.
Boy, he was upset Did you see his stuff on Twitter? He was,
I did. Tell the viewers.
Well, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically tired of, you know, wannabes and people that think they know football and they don't, which relative to what he would know, none of us do, okay? But he just tired of everybody having an opinion and having, you know, something to say about every little thing and, you know, just stick to being a fan and let us... Am I off? That's the gist of it.
No.
Like, you know, but there's somebody specifically he's referring to because you could tell that it was geared towards something that might have been said about him or something specific, but he wouldn't get into that or he didn't get into that. But I get, and you know, I've often thought about that. You know, let's say you're a coach and you've spent 20 hours preparing, poring over video, you know, analyzing everything about your opponent, and you're trying to get the matchups you want, and you're doing all of those things, and you know way more than what the average beer drinking guy sitting up in section 213 knows, but then you're subjected to abuse from people that frankly don't know what they're talking about, criticizing them. It's got to be frustrating for them. I get it, and I understand why players and coaches get a little sensitive when your regular Joe actually believe that we know more than they do. Like something that we're going to offer up on Twitter is going to solve all of the problems. So I get it. I do get why those people get frustrated, but they need to understand that when people pay their money,
you know. Kevin is one of the guys. Known him since 2001. That's a long time. He's a guy that I love his outlook on life. Like nothing really bothers him, particularly on the field.
That's why that surprised
he's got
me.
He's got a demeanor of just ice in his veins. It's what made him so successful and last for so long. Yet, for him to go off like that, you're right. It would be nice to know. We should actually get KG on the show. Maybe he'd tell us.
What a great guest.
Hey, Clark, can you do that? Can you DM KG? He's on it. He's getting it maybe by the end of the show. Don't expect that. By the way, Chris Getzlaff, Jim Hopson in studio tomorrow here on the Rod Peterson Show. We'll be talking about tonight's Riders-Bombers game. And the sports doctor, Dave Patrician, will be with us. And the head coach and general manager of the Humboldt Broncos, Scott Barney, will be sitting on that set tomorrow. The old barn dog. He's a guy that I just got to know this year, and we got real close, real fast. You know guys like that?
Oh, yeah.
Super dude. Super, super guy. Jack writing us on Facebook. There's another super dude that I got close with fast. He's with the Stampeders. He says, looking forward to watching your interview with Corey Sheets tomorrow, Rod. Another great show today. Catch you tomorrow. Well, you must be going somewhere, Jack, because we're not. We're here up until 12 Mountain. But Jack works. I don't know if he's got an official title with the Stampeders. Interesting role, though. There's becoming a lot of roles for guys like us. What Jack does is he's a transitional coach. He's helping guys near the end of their career and at the end of their career transition into life. Yeah. And the reason he's so excited to see the Corey Sheets interview is I'd always heard about these players that when they retire or a coach gets fired or whatever, really has a tough time with it. People don't really understand. It is tough, particularly for the players, because you've had your butt kissed. You're out of the womb. Your whole life. You've seen it, Kelly, because you worked in hockey. Darren, you know the same thing. Your whole life's been scheduled. You'd have everything looked after for you. Here you go. Here's more sticks. Here's more gloves. Here's more this and that. And all of a sudden, boo, out the door, done.
Yeah, and you don't often leave on your terms either.
Nope, you're not leaving on your own. And it's really, really hard for most guys.
You know, I think that life for almost anybody could be like that, but for those guys, it's even more so because they are, in many cases, coddled a little bit, and everything's done for them. And one of the other things, and I'm not going to go off on like talking about myself, but I can tell you, as a financial advisor, I could totally understand how that could mess guys up completely, because nobody probably, in a lot of cases. Although I think it's a little different now, but I think you go back to the guys in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s, I would be willing to bet that 9 out of 10 athletes didn't have somebody when they were in their early 20s sit them down and say, listen, you have to start putting some money away. You know, you're not going to be making $600,000, $700,000, and $800,000 for the next 25 years. In fact, you might only be making that for 3 or 4. So unless you want to go out and get a job at Shoppers Drug Mart, okay, you have to start taking 10 or 15 or 20% of your money and saving it. And, you know, we all get absolutely mortified when we find out that guys that were that signed $5, $6, and $7 million contracts are claiming bankruptcy when they're 50. But I get it, because nobody ever explains to them. You can't spend every dollar that comes in. First of all, they don't get to keep it all. And second of all, nobody ever sat them down and just explained stuff that you and I have been, you know, we've had that.
Well, I'll explain one more. You've seen that stat, how 75 to 80% of NFLers are broke within 3 years of retiring. You'd say, how could they? Vince Young made $37 million in his career, and he's in the red. Well, I'll explain this. I was in Southern California in Anaheim with the Getzlaff brothers. Ryan makes $10 million a year with the Anaheim Ducks. You know what the estate income tax there, plus federal and everything? 61% total. So he's taken home $3.9 million.
Sucks to be him.
Right. They get that. But the point is, some guys make $10 million and spend $10 million.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But that's how it happens.
But that's how we live, right? We all live within our means. We get a paycheck.
Well, you should. Not everybody does.
We spend what we have, right? You get a paycheck for $1,200 or $2,400 or $10,000, and you start thinking, where is every penny that's going to go? And you start thinking, oh, I can do this now. I can do this now. I can do this now. And you don't think that as an athlete, right, and we're sitting here being like, he makes $6 million, surely he can donate some to charity or help kids or do this, or he can, you know, whatever, he can buy dinner. But it's like, hey, look, at his career's 10 years or less, or it's 3 years or 4 years. Those $6 million per year have to last the next 30 years.
And by the way, obviously Ryan Getzlaff is not complaining. He realizes how fortunate he's been in life, plus his brother Chris is a financial planner too. He's fine.
Ryan made more money than the entire payroll of the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Perspective.
Perspective. Think about that for a minute.
But if you want to know how athletes go broke, that's how. Yeah. And there's not always somebody there that's helping them. Vince Young, because I got to know him, and I really liked him, but he never had a mentor in his life. Some guys aren't as lucky as some of us have been. You know
Elton
what I mean?
John.
What'd he do?
Well, he's been bankrupt a number of times. Every dollar that he makes, he spends.
Are you going to go to his movie, Rocket Man?
Yeah, I'll go. I loved it.
Want to go together?
Sure.
It's been a long time since you and I have been to a movie together.
Bohemian Rhapsody is one of my... I went in there thinking, oh, this will be a good movie. And I left there. My daughter says to me, when are we going back again? I ended up going back twice. She's seen it four times. That's the new thing now, these movies with music and, yep, you know. And I think the Elton John movie will be really good. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that with you. That'll be good.
So in our final segment coming up, in the absence of Justin Dunk, who's unable to join us from the RBC Open because of a Wi-Fi connection or lack thereof, I want to answer your questions. You guys cool with that?
Let's do it.
Whatever you want. Stanley Cup Final, Game 5 tonight. NBA Finals, Raptors up 2-1. Are they going to bring it home? Our Twitter poll, of course, we can update those results. Today's Twitter poll is, what are you more jacked about? Stanley Cup Final or NBA Finals? We'll get to those results after the break. And it's the Riders and the Bombers tonight at Mosaic Stadium. More on that game. Whatever you want. Fired up on Facebook. We'll answer those questions coming back on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait. Do it right now.
We've had 3 major market corrections in the last year. We're looking at recessionary times ahead, not sure when. Very difficult to predict the markets right now, just with geopolitical issues down in the States and in China. And you got the 2 largest economies fighting and throwing tariffs at each other. So it's a really scary time in the markets.
Brian Baker, managing partner and investment fund advisor with 2020 Wealth Management, Investia Financial Services, Inc.
The markets go up and they go down. You're generally, over the course of the last 100 years, can expect 4 good years and 1 one crappy year. The problem is how do you time it? It's almost impossible to time. And the last thing you want is a crappy year right before you take out your pension. The strategy is designed for people who are retiring. However, we also put it in place for people who are 3 and 4 years from retirement.
Your investments matter. Talk to Brian or Jody today, your retirement income specialist at 2020 Wealth Management, Investia Financial Services, Inc. Visit yourinvestmentsmatter.ca.
Mutual fund products are provided through Investia Financial Services, Inc., and insurance products are provided through Custom Plan Financial.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
Sports Talk on Demand. Head to rodpeterson.com to access all of the content you may have missed or want to hear again. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Rod Peterson Show continues. Final segment, Kelly Rempel and Darren DuPont with me. We're on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com for the live audio. That's where the podcast live archive version. We can get into Darren a little later on where other spots you can find it. Sports update, Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final goes tonight in Boston, where the Bruins will take on the St. Louis Blues. The best-of-seven series is tied at 2 wins each. The Bruins say the availability of injured defensemen Zdeno Chara and Matt Grzelcyk will be game-time decisions. I'm guessing that they will be in. However, Klay Thompson was supposed to be game-time last night for the Warriors, and he did not play as the Raptors knocked off Golden State to go up 2-1. The Blue Jays looking to sweep the New York Yankees at Rogers Center today. Jays won 11-7 last night to take the opening pair of that series. It is Edwin Jackson tonight for the Jays against the Yankees, Jay Happ. So a couple comments on my personal text line coming in. Penalty box boy Kenny Stromberg says, request 2 Rod Peterson show mugs, please. Great show, pal. Darren, how can people get a hold of these splashy mugs? What's the deal?
I'll tell you. I don't. Kelly, hold your mug up because these are nice. The Rod Peterson Show mugs. They are coming. I've had people requesting the stickers, the one on Rod's computer, really sharp. So we've got merchandise on the way for sure. So stay tuned.
It looks just like Rod, too.
It does. It looks just like him, which is incredible. Our production partners at IKS, I mean, they do tremendous work.
What's the name of the guy that did that?
Josh. Well, Josh. They're all Josh. There's a couple of Josh. Oh, really?
By the way, when we were laughing so hard last hour, I was pounding the floor, kicking. The guys downstairs from the Rod Peterson Show and IKS Media were telling us to keep it down. Stop having so much fun.
We're going to get kicked out. The landlord's going to kick us out.
Broadcasting is a lot of fun again, as you can tell. Alan on Facebook. Is it true Darren Durant is living in Regina and working out daily? You're half right. He's working out daily, not living in Regina. From Ian. Did the Winnipeg Ice, the WHL, and the fans get screwed over by Hockey Canada for not granting Mathieu Savoie exceptional status? I wanted to see this kid come to the WHL. I don't know if that's a topic we're going to delve into today on a Rider game day, but I wish that they had.
Quickly, yeah, I mean, it would have been nice if they would have granted it because it hasn't happened in this league and it would have been good for the exposure and getting high-end guys here. But it doesn't mean it's not out of the question. Just because he committed to NCAA, they got the second overall pick, Matthew Geeky, signed. He's coming. So that's going to help. They traded with the Pats for his brother, the other Savoy kid, who was also committed to go to the States, I believe, playing junior A hockey in Alberta. So trying to get the package deal together. And they got Peyton Krebs. Is going to be
That's a slippery slope.
Peyton Krebs is a top pick, though. They're going to move him this year to get more assets. They're building something special. So I think they're taking a good run to try and convince him to come.
It is. But, you know, that exceptional status, everybody's going to have a different line in the sand as to who gets that exception and who doesn't. And it's just a mess.
Josh writing us from downstairs. Hey, keep it down up there. There's two Joshes, right? Mm-hmm. Is this the one that did the cartoon?
He's part of it. Yep.
It's not.
That's him.
Paul says no.
Josh Burns
designed it, and that's Josh who did all the animation.
From Pam Aquin, she says, we'll trade homemade cookies for coffee mugs. DuPont's the business person. You going to take that deal?
I do like homemade cookies.
Speaking of, by the way, Pam and her wonderful husband, Marcel, and I hope, Pam, you found a way to get Marcel watching or listening to this show every day.
That's Pam.
That's the Pam, yeah.
Oh, I miss you guys.
They are some of my biggest supporters and very close friends. They've always come on those sports trips that I've hosted over the years. So there's a travel agency in town that are looking into a sports trip. Did they contact you?
We have started the conversation.
You started a conversation. The only reason I bring it up is they investigated Cleveland as a potential to go to with a Rod Peterson Show sports trip, Kelly, which I think you'd love, by the way, doing this show before a live studio audience on the road from an NFL game. Well, the Cleveland Browns guys are sold out for the entire season. There's not one ticket to be bought for the Cleveland Browns all year.
Baker Mayfield.
OBJ.
And Odell. And
let's be honest, Chris Jones. They're raving about Chris Jones in Cleveland.
That sold a lot of tickets.
Might have. I'm joking.
You know what? I actually think, though, that he can absolutely contribute. I think he's a great defensive mind, and any team would be lucky to have a guy like that. I truly, of course. I'm not being facetious. He's not the most warm, fuzzy PR. That's not going to be asked of him there. It doesn't matter if anybody knows who Chris Jones is. He might not do an interview all year, which would be great. You know, but that guy is a genius when it comes to defense. There's no doubt about it. Good pickup.
From Johnny Meisner, texting, he says, sounding fantastic, Roddy, from your number one fan in Salem, Oregon, John Meisner. You guys met John Meisner? He's a trip. Former voice of the Tampa Bay Junior Lightning. Johnny and I have been friends a long time. Really good guy.
I hear that's as nice a place of the world as
Salem, Oregon?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. John Schmidt, will you be talking hockey during hockey season, Roddy? Well, of course. The hockey people are going nuts. We can do 100% hockey. They're loving it. They're loving it. We probably should do more hockey. We'd be a heck of a lot more hockey in the summer on my show than there's ever been. From Troy Koser, what are yours, Remps, and Dupe's predictions on tonight's Rider game? What do you mean, like a score? I think the Riders will win 30-24. That's what I think.
You know what? I think it's going to be a close game. Yeah, I'll say the Riders as well, 24-21.
Because they really want to win. That's my John Lynch imitation.
Am I going to be just a creep if I pick against them?
No.
I'm going to say Riders lose 27-13.
Why?
I just, honestly, I don't have a lot of trust that their offense is going to score a lot of points. I think it's just, it's very difficult to win and expect your defense to score more points than your offense every game. Like, I just don't know that they figured it out yet. And when you're 2-1 out all the time, you could be a great defense and you're still going to give up 24 to 30 points because it's just not realistic to think that you can constantly, like, let's put it this way. What we saw last year, you're never going to see again. You're not going to have Willie Jefferson intercepting balls at your defensive end and running them for touchdowns to win your team the game consistently like he did against Winnipeg and Edmonton. And I just think that this offense, even I know it's preseason and all that stuff, but it's still a work in progress. And I'm just not convinced that tonight is going to be the night. I hope I'm wrong, though. I'll be there, and I'm, you know, but I'm just not feeling great about their lighting it up. But I do like the fact that Zach's going to play.
Yeah, and a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I was reading the Bomber website. I didn't see any information on who they're leaving at home or who's coming. Well, apparently, Willie Jefferson's staying at home. I think Matt Nichols is going to play a little tonight. But I just think the Riders are going to play their vets longer. Mm-hmm. And usually when that happens, that's when teams come to the fore and start to... It doesn't matter, by the way. I'm sure the marketing department's sitting there saying, I hope we score some points. I hope we win. And you got the coaching staff over here not even thinking about that. They're thinking about their combinations of who's going to be on the field when, getting their plays down. It's not about winning tonight. But I've been, for 21 years now, I've been trying to convince people of that, and they just don't want to hear it. A win is a win, whether it's preseason, regular season, or playoff, to some people. So, hey, if they lose tonight, I hope you're not too disappointed. I think we're going to shut her down. I want to apologize to Justin Dunk, because I said Three Down Nation hasn't broken a store in a while. He's taken umbrage with that. So I apologize. It just slipped out. Just not what I meant. What's the last story they broke?
You just meant...
Mike Benavides is joining TSN. There's one. That was just yesterday. So I apologize, Justin. Didn't mean it.
But I think you meant maybe that... Or I don't know what you meant, but...
I don't either.
Been a lack of massive stories, earth-shattering, real dirt. You know, we're looking for some more controversy.
That's kind of what I meant.
And there is no controversy out there right now.
No controversy.
We were waiting for Chris Jones has worked out, Johnny Manziel, or we're waiting for some sort of scandal, and there just hasn't been a scandal. Can't help the newsbreakers if there's no news to break.
Clark's telling me that he had a lot of CBA inside information, so...
Yes.
So, well, of course. Again, Justin, sorry about
that. We know he's the number one insider. Yeah.
Well, you
in
know
CFL.
You're dialed in when a comment like that...
Didn't take long.
Can somehow gets back to him on a golf course.
Well, this...
no internet.
This show is a CFL show. As I said, I think it was on day one. If the CFL hasn't realized it yet, they will. This is the best thing for them. You know, and the Daron Carter interview, which we just posted to our Facebook page, has had thousands of views already and made Daron look like the good guy that he is. So it's going to be a real fun summer, but we're going to be talking a lot of hockey in the program too. It's only day four. I wear a bracelet that says one day at a time. Everybody's asking where this show's going, what we're going to do. We don't know. I had a rant earlier today that my head popped off, and I did not plan that, as you guys clearly know. But I do want to say this. I'm going to be with the Army boys later today, and I hope that you are too. 75th anniversary of D-Day. The invasion of Normandy is today. Come on down and show your support of the soldiers. Canadian Armed Forces, the tailgate party at 5 o'clock at the Garrison. That's the Armory's just north of Mosaic Stadium today. 5 o'clock, doors open. Get your beers on, get your hot dogs on, whatever. And we'll see you at the ballpark tonight. Tomorrow, Jim Hobson, Chris Getzlaff, the sports doctor, Dave Patrician, and Scott Barney, the Barn Dog, head coach of the Humboldt Broncos and general manager as well. And Arash Madani with the latest on the NBA Finals heading into Game 4. That's all tomorrow. Rems, yeah, really. The room was expecting big things, Rems. And you delivered.
Well, I appreciate that. I try. Every time we're gonna give it the old college try. Let me just say this. Great set. Great show. I'm kind of my expectation level myself was high. This is even better than I thought.
Have we blown it out of the water?
Well, I think so. And judging by the comments, I think your audience does too.
Ryan Laney, great show. TV off, feed on. Love it. Riders 25, Bombers 21. From Johnny Schmidt, your show's the best thing to come along in a long time, Roddy. He asked earlier if Tiger Williams is going to be on this show. Tiger's in Regina all the time. If I'm going to bring Tiger on, I'm going to put Tiger right there.
You don't want him on the video call. You want him in studio.
Yeah, I would need Tiger right here. And Tiger and I have been playing phone tag the last couple of days. I will guarantee you that Tiger Williams will be on this show. Love that guy. Love him. Okay, I could sit here all day and read these comments. Don't really want to go off the air, but I'm going to. And enjoy the feed. We'll see you tomorrow on The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com. Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms.